Hi, everybody. I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my way home from work as a teacher. So today we are talking about inspiration, where it comes from, I guess how to get it, how to find it, how to rediscover it, all of our passions and all the things that we care about. And this podcast, in about 10 minutes, we're going to spend some bullet points, some brainstorming ideas on maybe where you can find your inspiration. If you have thoughts, as I always say about this podcast, it is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. Keep them 10 minutes in my recording so that we have a chance to sort of think in bite-sized chunks. But I would love, love, love to hear your thoughts and your feedback on where your inspiration comes from. So feel free to message me. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. I'll repeat that at the end of the show. But again, ideas are great, and ideas really can come from anywhere. So it's sort of crazy to think that in 10 minutes we're just going to have a podcast about ideas, and that will be all of the ideas. So please, please, please join in the conversation. I would love very much to hear your thoughts. Just shoot me a message and let me know what you think. We'll mention your thoughts and feedback on a future episode of the podcast, and we'll join in the conversation right there online. Inspiration, there it is. Where does your inspiration come from? For many teachers, it comes from the ability to keep company with great people. In your building, you may have that teacher rock star who you just can't imagine that person doesn't wake up being awesome at it. You know, we see the product of their success, and we see all of the natural charisma that they bring to their craft, or the joy in their lesson planning, or the visuals that they have pulled off in their presentation or their printable materials. And we sit there and we say, oh man, I wish I could be more like that. So inspiration might come from other people. I think one of the biggest things that I've found in my teaching is that the greatest enemy to teacher improvement is this sort of siloing of education, where we all exist in our own little spheres, and we only exist in our own little spheres, and we don't share, we don't see one another. And so whether that's in a physical school because of the location, maybe you have like a classroom assignment. I have a good friend who the school was overcrowded, so they have like a trailer, a teaching trailer outside. So it's very hard for them to see one another. Or it could just be because of the nature of how faculty engagement works in your building. It may be that there's a more veteran faculty who has, you know, an established way of doing things, and as a young buck on the block or as somebody who's just trying to join in the conversation, it may be difficult to find your tribe, the people who can be inspiring to you. So I thought about that. I don't know if you're in the building or in the business of Twitter, but if you are, I recommend leaning on those people who you can connect with on social media. Even if you can't have somebody physically in your classroom, leaning electronically on other educators who are connected is an awesome way to help find inspiration in people who inspire you to do great, great things. T.S. Eliot, the poet and the author, famously once said that mediocre writers borrow, but great writers steal. There's something to be said for taking ideas from wherever they come from and incorporating them into your pedagogy, into your classroom, into your lessons. John Steinbeck wrote famously that he believed that he was like the great life's work, the great unsigned manuscript of all of the teachers who had come before him, and his English teacher in high school had helped shape so much of who he was as a writer. I think as educators, we have to remember that just sitting at the big boy or the big girl desk doesn't make you the boss for eternity eternal, right? We still have so much to learn, and the teachers who we learn from as students are still there. And thanks to Twitter and things like that, even if your school culture is a little bit more isolated, you do have the ability to sort of lean in and connect. And Twitter is just one electronic resource, which is a great way to sort of lean in on those. Pinterest, especially if you're in the younger grade levels, Pinterest for teaching is fantastic. If you have ideas or you're looking for ideas, Pinterest is just an awesome, awesome place to share those with other educators. There's so much in the way of free stuff, printables, classroom materials, ideas, activities, all these different teacher boards. People just take pictures of what's going on in their classrooms and then do quick little blog-style write-ups about what they have found or what they have created or what they've sort of enjoyed with their kids. And even if the faces sometimes are blurred out because you're dealing with minors, and that makes sense, they do have the ability to say, look, here's the step-by-step of how this thing works or how it looks. And as classroom teachers, then we have the ability to say, hey, I could probably steal some of that or borrow some of that and put that into play in your classroom as well. So I definitely recommend Pinterest as another option for some inspiration. Another great one for inspiration, if you are in the market for it, and I use the word market in this case in the truest sense of the word, the teacher resale market on Teachers Pay Teachers. If you are not familiar, Teachers Pay Teachers is a resource buying and selling site where teachers, wait for it, literally pay teachers. Teachers host their unit or lesson or materials online, and other teachers purchase them. That's really it. It's sort of like Etsy or StubHub. People have stuff, they want to share it, or people come there looking for it. So you run a search for the thing that you're interested in, and there's fully developed resources. There's a bunch of incredible, incredible stuffs there on Teachers Pay Teachers. The good stuff is it's totally there for free to browse, right? So you can look through everything and say, oh, that sounds neat. Hey, that looks like an idea. And they have little previews. Sometimes they have little videos or preview images, certainly, with full product write-ups for ideas about different ways you could approach the same content. So let's say you're teaching a unit on Mesopotamia, and you just sort of Google the word Mesopotamia, but head on Teachers Pay Teachers instead and run a search for Mesopotamia. You'll see all these different unit plans, and you can break it down by grade level or by the type of activity. Maybe you want like a centers activity on Mesopotamia. Or maybe you want PowerPoint or slideshow presentation materials or a tech materials thing on Mesopotamia. And then as you find sellers that you like, just like Etsy or, like I said, StubHub, you find your favorite venues or your favorite personalities on there, you can follow those people so you can see as they post new resources, especially if they're teaching the same sort of stuff that you're teaching, and then you can lean in and purchase their products on down the line. There is a purchase price point attached to them. Teachers get to set their purchase price, and the site, I think, takes maybe 20% from people who are paid seller accounts. So the site does make a little bit of money on it, but that allows it to host those resources for the teachers who have it. I'm not a big fan of paying for resources ever because teachers generally have like no time and no money. But if teaching takes time and someone else has already put that time in, as educators, I would rather that a teacher got paid for a resource than a nameless and faceless publishing company who's just there to make money. I have confidence when I buy on Teachers Pay Teachers that these people are actually people who are doing it in the classroom on the day to day, and it feels good to support them and support the cause, even though I would perfectly, in a perfect world, love to get their stuff for free. I think that's important too, is that you're sharing resources. Sometimes the very same things you'll find on Teachers Pay Teachers, you can totally find on Twitter or on Instagram or Pinterest. Instagram for teachers is another one to find inspiration. Believe it or not, there are a lot of teacher pages that are just set up there where people will have like a classroom account and they'll just take pictures of what's going on there. Oftentimes it will link back to one of their other social media profiles, like a Pinterest page or a Twitter feed or even a Teachers Pay Teachers store. But if you're a visual person and you want to see video of a lesson in action or like a really cool image of what it could look like when a classroom is all decked out in one form or fashion, those photo sharing sites are really kind of great for that. Certainly teacher blogs work the same way online. You find a few that you're interested in and tune in regularly because they usually are updated with all sorts of new ideas and fun ways to kind of strengthen and enhance our teaching practice with things that maybe you would have probably thought of anyway. But once you get that visual, it gets you there that much faster, which is super cool. And regarding other inspirations, certainly conversations with people who are not teachers. I know that kind of sounds crazy, but it's my last big like secret tip for finding ideas. I would totally ask my very best friend, Brian, all the time about, hey, if you were learning this thing, how would you like to learn it? He is a police officer in Washington, D.C., as I'm getting honked at here in traffic in D.C., and he doesn't teach the same way that I would teach, doesn't learn the same way that I would learn, and he doesn't speak edu-speak jargon, and that's a really good thing. If I have to get him excited about something, how do I do it? Because sometimes we can get so far inside the echo chamber, all we're doing is talking to other educators. I had a teacher friend who was teaching a concept, and I said, look, I feel like you and I are always on the same page, we're reading each other's mind. I wish I could talk to somebody who didn't understand this stuff and see if I could read their mind. And that, to me, has been really empowering. Remembering for yourself to allow yourself some time outside of the bubble to, whether it's walking through a hardware store and just looking at the physical stuffs that they have available there for purchase, or a toy store and getting ideas for how toys are being designed for kids today, or watching a TV show that has nothing to do with teaching at all, just giving yourself a chance to breathe and get outside of the bubble so you can see how the real world works with these tangible items. It can be really helpful to inspire either design elements in your classroom or pedagogical decisions that you're making. So that's a last hidden little Easter egg there for you. I try to keep these podcasts about 10 minutes in length, and this will be just about the wrap-up on this one. If you want to, I would love to hear your dialogue on how you feel inspired in your classroom and the things that kind of help you find it. We all have our passions, but really, where do you find that day-to-day, those reminders, those inspirations? Feel free to tweet at me. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and EDU like teaching, because I like teaching. And I would love to talk to you about it because I think you like it too. Thanks so much, and I will talk to you again next week. You hear the blinker there. That means it's pretty much the end of the podcast. Bye for now, and thanks again.